Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, I've just turned 88, and I've never been this old before. It's kind of getting to me. I didn't know it was going to be quite like this, or taking better care of myself. You know, usually someone, when there's a lot of gossip and talk about you, you want to straighten that out. I don't do that anymore. Well, I was with Oral Roberts before he died, of course, and he said, you know, if I was guilty of just 1% of the things they say about me, I haven't lived long enough to do that many things. So I'll just go by that one. But you know, I was thinking everybody should be prophetic, not pathetic, but prophetic, and enjoy the prophetic, like as tired and as bombarded as I've been with a couple of heart attacks, they say, recently, and falling out of bed and breaking my teeth out. No, I wasn't drinking. I was just sleeping too close to the edge. And it's not very enjoyable, but, you know, I really enjoyed coming up here because even though it was really high temperature and hot in the airport, it was 90 degrees, and the plane was just as hot and no air coming in. So anyway, I got pretty exhausted, but I enjoyed the prophetic on the way. There was a young man sitting in front of us. When he got on the plane, I said, "You're going to a wedding, aren't you?" He said, "Well, yes. How did you know?" I said, "Well, you just look like a best man, you know." And it can be fun to enjoy the Lord. But I think my assistant, David Kingsley, we've been together for 6 years, I believe, and he is so anointed. I've taught him everything he knows, but not everything I know. I'm still holding back. But I just feel like giving everything away here lately. And so we're coming to meetings where we're just giving away the prophetic. And whatever I have to give away, I just feel like it's time to impart that. So I did this impartation with David, and some of the discernment and the word of knowledge that the Lord's given him, it's just astonishing. In fact, it's been so wonderful. I've been using the ministry for the FBI for 15 years. No one seems to know about that. But when you get old, you don't have grandchildren to tell everything to. So I just wait till I get around folks like this. But it's been enjoyable to work for the FBI. And there's a segment of the FBI that is absolutely brilliant when it comes to dealing with counterterrorism and all that we're into today. It's a good day to be alive, and it's a dangerous way to time to be alive. How many of you know that? It's really dangerous to be alive. So anyway, I introduced my assistant and his gift ministry that the Lord has given him since he's been with me to my FBI agent, associate, and he likes him, I think, better than he does me, and I'm just, I guess it's because he's younger and everything, but he's going on a trip with them a week or so, right, to a couple of countries, and so pray for him. And then I'm getting ready to go to Sunderland, England, and we're expecting another incident like Wales. They're fasting 40 days beginning today and just before the meeting. And people are coming from, ministers especially, are coming from France and Switzerland and Norway, all over Europe and the United States. So will you pray that God will give us something that can't be blamed on man, that will just bring revival to the UK? I believe it will. So I'm going to have my assistant tell you what we know about prophecy that has been delayed. And some of you had prophecies 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, and you're wondering why it hasn't come to pass. If it was really from God, it'll always come to pass. And just recently I had an email from a pastor in Pasadena, Texas, right near Houston. And he was the, he held some office when I was there with John Osteen and Lakewood Church. And he said he'd been contending for 9 months that he would not have to have heart surgery and that he would live over it. And so here the prophetic came into play, and he was called out and told that the condition of his heart. And I said, thus saith the Lord, he's giving you a new heart tonight. And now for 30 years, I knew nothing about this until the other day. And then we're just getting testimony after testimony, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 30 years ago, they were given a prophecy, and now you're just now hearing about it. I'm going to pray for everybody to be used in the prophetic. Yeah. Amen. And I believe that's what the Lord is after in these days. I love this part of the country. We've had great miracles, probably the greatest in Northern California. And I always enjoy being far enough from Los Angeles that you can feel the presence of God. And the presence of God is here. I've had the greatest meetings of my life in Los Angeles, but it was the greatest struggle because there's a whole lot of sinning going on, and it's not the best place in the world to experience revival. But we had it anyway. But I like to feel revival when we have it, don't you? And walking in the building tonight, I just was so thankful for the presence of God. But one of the greatest testimonies that was over 30 years ago up here was one night the Lord showed me that there were five women in the audience, and I called them all out and had them come forward. And I said, now the Lord is saying that these five women have the same thing in common. And boy, I was up a tree because I didn't know what that was at that point. But I'd already spoken that, and I didn't know what to do. Then the Lord said, tell them that they all have unsaved husbands. So I said, you all have unsaved husbands. See, I'm just a puppet for the Lord. You all have unsaved husbands, and the Lord is going to give every one of you a token of your husband's salvation tonight. Well, you can imagine a lot of the people in the audience knew these women, and they were just going wild. And so all of a sudden, I saw the wife, Mary, of Alex Reyes, and I didn't know them at the time and never had met them. And I said, wait just a minute. And over in the overflow was Steve Reyes, the son of Alex and Mary, and he was praying his head off that the young people there had never once seen the gifts of the Spirit or the ministry of the prophetic in operation. And that's the reason they invited me there to the Assembly of God Church. And so I heard what Steve was praying. And I said, shame on you, Steve. We're talking about the women receiving tokens that night of their husband's salvation. And I said, you should be ashamed of yourself. You just prayed that God would shut me down. You thought I was a false prophet. And you said, Lord, shut him down because my father's never going to get saved. And he was the head of all the Army and Navy personnel in that area of San Francisco. But anyway, I said, just for that, I said, Mary, your husband's going to be saved in 24 hours, and he's going to come into the kingdom of God weeping till his eyes are swollen shut. And he didn't care for God. He was in the upper crust of the elite there. And so the next night, we all gathered in the meeting, and we wondered where Alice was because all the lights went out. An electrical storm came and knocked everything out, and we were all trying to get into the building by candlelight. And so all of a sudden, Alex shows up, and here's someone's leading him to the meeting. His eyes are swollen shut. He's been crying all night since he heard that he was going to get saved. And so Pastor Hausman said, "Paul, this is Alex." And it was such a drama. It was just such a drama to look at that man. Just had to be led to the service because he had cried all night and all the night before and all day. And those things are marvelous. But you know something? Greater things than these shall we see. When I walked in the building tonight, I was thinking the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him. And there's some fear of the Lord tonight. And there's some expectancy in this meeting. And I believe that people are going to go home with something they didn't really expect until you got here. Amen? Well, I'm taking too much time because my assistant has something to say to you I'd like to say to you, but he can say it more eloquent than me. And I just want you to know you're going to get some takeout food tonight. You can take it home with you. And you're going to get some hope. If you've ever had a prophecy and it hasn't come to pass yet, but first of all, how many of you have had a prophecy and it has come to pass? Let me see your hands. Well, look at that. Maybe half the audience. And some of you, I won't ask for a show of hands, but some of you have had prophecies and you've just given up on it. Was it 10 years ago or 12 years ago or 30 years ago? Well, if it was God, it's coming to pass. And I want to encourage you with that. And there are people that had household salvation prophecies. And after 10, 20, 30 years, it's coming to pass. Let's praise the Lord for that because it's absolutely wonderful. Well, anyway, there was one of the ladies was married to a Persian man. And he was of another faith and didn't believe in the Pentecostal faith at all of his wife. And so you're going to have a token of your husband's salvation tonight. And so all of a sudden, when these women were seated, this man who owned five-star restaurants all over San Francisco area, her husband came in and never been in the church before and sat down by her. She said, "What are you doing here?" And she's supposed to know that the Lord was going to give her a token of her husband's salvation. Well, it took 30 years for that to happen. But some of the others received instant tokens that night within 24 hours of their husband's salvation. Isn't God wonderful? He's going to help you with your unsaved loved ones. But David, would you come up? And this is David Kingsley. We've been together for 6 years, and I can really vouch for him. He, when I had him come out here, the Lord told me he's going to be my unique son. And so we're members of the healing rooms in Santa Maria. And so right away, he got married to the leader's sister-in-law. So he's in the family, and he gets treated better than me. So pray, will you? And this is David Kingsley. Are you going to help me back down there?
You guys both have good sets of cowboy praise boots on here. That's a good thing.
Praise the Lord. Am I on, brother? Am I on out there? Oh, boy. I just want to wait on the Lord just for a second. I don't think I've ever had an introduction like David just did, and it makes sense to me. Never, never in my life. And I've been with Paul for 6 years, and very few people I know really love Paul. Listen, let me just tell you up front. I can't be bought and I can't be manipulated, so I'm very, very dangerous to the powers of darkness, okay? So I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? Amen. If you amen, we'll get this going, and Paul wants to eat because he has to take his medicine. No amen? I don't have anywhere to go. We'll be here all night. I have no problem. But very few people I know really love Paul for Paul. Right? In the body of Christ, sometimes we call them imposters. We call them vultures. They're always pulling and pulling and pulling. And when I first met Rick Taylor, he was the first man that I've ever met, knowing Paul, that really loved Paul for Paul. And today I met your pastors, but today I realize that I met another couple that really authentically loves Paul for Paul. And I just want, I say that publicly. It's an honor. It's an honor. I mean that. I mean that. Cody, would you just stand up for a minute? This is Cody English. He's from the Healing Rooms, and this is my one of our spiritual sons. So I just, if you ever see him, he goes to school around here. Y'all love on him and take care of him. I just texted him and said, pray. This guy always has dreams, and they always come to pass. And so I said, hey, anytime you get a dream, dude, make sure you tell me. And but he's here at the church. So if y'all ever see Cody, y'all take care of Cody. Amen. Amen. Thank you, buddy. What Paul was trying to say was is that when I came to the Healing Rooms, I've only been married for a couple years. I married Carol. Carol is the sister of Lori Taylor. Rick and Lori are the heads of the Healing Rooms in the North America and Canada, about 8,000 Healing Rooms in the world. And we have an open heaven. And we see just phenomenal people being healed every day. And when I walked in here, I whispered to Paul, I said, hey, man, it's so good to get outside. Because sometimes when you're in your own bubble, you think you're the only one that has it. But when we came here, I said, Paul, they got exactly what we have. And that's when he was telling me that scripture about the fear of the Lord. Amber alert. Well, Lord, we just pray for whoever's being stolen right now. Come on, help me, church. Lord, if that was your baby, you'd want somebody to pray for you, right? So, Lord, we just pray for this child right now in Jesus' name. And, Lord, we ask that you find this child. Lord, enter into that situation right now, God, and bring it to a halt in Jesus' name. That you would, right now, Lord, enter and find that child in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's a real important thing to me. I do a set in the house of prayer over human trafficking. And as David said, when he went to Vietnam and that touched his heart, I was at a call with Lou Engel one time, and it still just gets all over me. And they just had a little baby, and her little pajamas had blood in it. And it just did something deep in me that just, I just do a set every week praying that God stops that pernicious iniquity that runs rampant. So that's very important to me. Listen, I don't know if you know Paul. How many people have never heard of Paul Kane? There's a few. This man, without a doubt, and we can honestly say, is probably been used as a prophetic voice in our nation. There's not even a close second. And I don't say that because I'm with him. He knows that. But we're talking in the Clinton White House. What Paul was trying to say a while ago was, I need you to pray for me. I'm going to go to Taiwan and the Philippines in a week and a half. Probably could have just said it like that. Praise the Lord. But Paul has done things for the governments around the world that the stories are just they're almost unbelievable when you hear these stories. And he talked to Saddam Hussein personally, stopped the war before it happened with Bill Clinton. These are all documented, so there's nothing that's classified that I'm saying. And so this man has been used in quite an amazing way. And I've been with Paul for 6 years, and I think he's traveled 3 or 4 times. So I want to say to you that it's an honor to really have him here with you. Now, in our generation, what we've done, let me just be honest, we've taken men and women that have been used by God, and we've made them idols. And when the idol, something happens to the idol, we get mad at the idol and go, what's wrong with you? Well, you made him an idol. What do you mean what happened to him? Right? Paul the apostle never said make them idols. He said honor them. Right. Defer to them. Right. Glean from them. Right. And it's been my highest honor. I want to talk to you. What's this lady's name right here next to the pastor? Carla, would you just stand up for a minute? Carla, I just saw like the Lord's about to sling you into a group of people that never thought that you would be the one that God's going to use. But God's going to use you. And every bit of witchcraft, every bit of the occult is leaving right now. And as sure as I'm standing here right now, God is about to sling you into a group of people, and your words are going to count. And those people that counted you off, they're going to come back and they're going to say, Carla, tell us what you have to say. So, Father, we release that to Miss Carla right now in the name of Jesus. Come on. Every bit of witchcraft, every bit of the occult, we loose that from you right now, never to be never to visit you again in Jesus' name. And every word that you speak, we just release that Samuel anointing. Not one of your words will drop to the ground. The fear of the Lord that this man just said is going to be your treasure forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't, 6, 7, 8:30. I don't want to make this long, and I don't want to make it about a prophetic thing. I want to tell you, let me just see if I can get this thing straight, see if we're doing it right. I want to, y'all need to see that. Okay. Is it there? I want to talk about that right there. Because every time that Paul and I have traveled, every time, somebody always says, I've heard a word from Paul Kane. And then I'll ask him this question. Well, what was the word? 4 out of 10 times, they'd say, you know, I don't remember it, but Paul gave it to me. Yeah. Or I ask, what happened to it? And they'll say, man, all hell broke loose. Have you ever wondered why? My assignment tonight is to tell you about the prophetic. Because I believe there's a word the Lord wants to speak to this church. And there's a reason why these people are on these walls right here. It's not just to have their pictures up there. And I want to say something to you. I was born in Texas, raised a heathen. And I was sexually abused as a little boy. And if any of you have ever been sexually abused, there's life after that. And I know it's in the room because statistically, 1 out of 4 people have been abused. So you're looking at somebody that has made it out of that. I was completely rejected by a father at a very young age. There's 4 boys I just happened to be. I don't know, but when I was 7 or 8 years old, the Lord Jesus appeared to me and he said something to me. And my life has always been a little bit separate. So make a long story short, I get married. There's 6 children involved. I adopted 4 of them. And there was this man named Paul Kane coming to the city. I got born again at 17, went to the Baptist church. God bless the Baptist. Praise the Lord. My memory scriptures are still good. Hallelujah for the Baptists. Come on. Oh, there's some Baptists out there. There's so much glare in these glasses. But we heard this man was coming. And we went and saw him in Anaheim. And if any of you were there, it's when John Wimber brought him out. And it was just, you know, I was like way over... I was just over my head. I was watching this man, and I just remember the Lord saying to me one time at that meeting in Anaheim, he said, just watch this guy. I didn't know anything. I was just glad to be born again. I was an athlete, did all that, but I struggled with all that self-hatred. Come on, I know it's in the room. I struggled with that addiction. I know it's in the room. I struggled with all that, but because of my sports, it covered all that up. Well, Paul then came to my city. And he calls me out, and he calls the group of people out. I suffer from such rejection that he called all 5 people out that I just stepped backwards from that row because I thought, man. And then he said, where's David? And I walk forward, and he gives me this word, and I didn't know him or anything. And I forgot I was teaching too. Indeed, the sovereign Lord never does anything until he reveals his plans to his servants, the prophets. My assignment today is for us to get our eyes off the prophets and get our eyes on what they're saying. Because the sign of the end times, it comes in one word, deception. Deception will cover the whole earth. And it's not about Republican or Democrat. It's not about black or white. Get out of that argument. Get out of that place. That's the deception. There's a God that's coming back to this earth. And there's a devil that thinks he's stopping it. And the war's on. And me and you were birthed in that war. And if you don't know it, you're already captured, friend. Amen. So, where did this all start at? Should I hide my plan from Abraham? For Abraham will certainly become great and mighty. What word has God given you? I have singled him out that he would direct his sons and their families. There's the purple, that they might know the way of the Lord. What I want to say to you today is every one of us have received a word from God. And it's not all about the end. It's about the journey. He wants you to know his ways. The pastor liked that. The only one. Thank you, Dave. He wants you to know his ways. Listen, my father was a detective for 40 years. And when you walked in his house, there are certain things you're going to do and there are certain things you are not going to do. And one of them was, if I ever brought my friend in, they better greet that man or he would have let them know you have a problem here. But my problem is we were usually high or I was trying to hide from him. So there was a constant struggle. But there was a way. And God wanted Abraham to know his ways. God wants you to know your ways. I want to get to this part. Here's where I want to go. Then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand this meaning of this parable, how will you understand anything else? If you've never read Mark 4, I challenge you for the rest of the year, maybe 2018, get in Mark 4. Because Jesus said, if you know this, it will open up the rest of the Bible. Here we go. So the farmer plants seed by taking God's word to others. So here comes the sower. He comes in and he sows a seed into my life. I'm Baptist. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. I got the right foot of fellowship. I don't know what charismatic is. It's when Jimmy Swaggart was big. I used to go home, watch him on TV and say, man, there's something that guy has that nobody else. I mean, taking you back to the 70s, I mean, to the 80s and everything. I'm 55, so I just dated myself. So back in there, and some of you know where I'm talking about. And he was just powerful and everything. Well, we heard that Mr. Cain was going to be in Newport Beach, California. So we went with another couple, and we went up there. And it was for pastors and stuff. We don't know Paul. We never met Paul. And he's so easy to love. And it's just, you know, but he was just so different from everybody else. Well, that day they said all the ministers were going to go down. Oh, I know what he did. And I always told him, I always wanted to get mad at him at this. He made me an associate pastor to this church when he came in San Antonio. I didn't know anything. And all of a sudden he gives me this word. He goes, so I guess that makes you the associate pastor. And everybody cheers. I thought, Dave, I'm a pastor now, you know. And so I was with my best friend. He married me. Me and this guy would do everything together in Christianity. So we go to Newport Beach, and sure enough, they say, go down. The sower sowing the word. The sower sowing the word. Look at this. And look who comes immediately to take away the word. Wait a minute. If it's not important what I'm telling you, then why is that guy showing up? If your stuff is not that good, why is the thief trying to take it? Everybody wants to hear the word from the prophets. Everybody wants to get a word. And this guy's coming immediately to take that word. And no one told me or the Baptists. And maybe no one ever told you. You want to preach healing? Sickness is coming your way to test you. You want to preach prosperity? Look for the bills and there's a struggle. It happens. I'm going to prove it to you in the scripture. Because he's coming immediately. And what we do is we tell the prophet, you're not a prophet. It wasn't a word. Oh, yes, it was. The fact that you're in that struggle tells me that that was a word from God. I don't care if you've been in jail or out of jail. If you got a word from God and this guy's showing up, start praising the Lord. That means it was a real word. In my life, when I start seeing people and I see nothing's happening to them and they're just getting away and they're in sin, I think, uh-oh, because he's not showing up. Something's wrong. God chastens those he loves. God disciplines those he loves. And that word, people don't want to hear about that because they want that grace. You can just do whatever you want. No, you can't. This is a moral universe. It's a moral God, and he's a holy God. Can I get an amen? Okay. So I'm sitting there, and they said, the pastors go down, and they said, well, the wives can't go down to the meeting. And I thought, man, that was weird. And so I thought, all right. So I'm walking, but in my spirit, I'm thinking something wrong. And she says, I'm going to stay in the hotel room. Man, I can feel that moment. So I go down, and there's thousands of people. I don't know, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, just lots of people. And I went down there, and I saw all their wives. And I went, uh-oh. I told my friend, hold on, I'm going back to my room. I knew something was up. He said, what's wrong? I go, no, I don't need to be. I need to go. So I walk up, and I open this door. The door was cracked open, and I walk in. She's crying on the bed, and she says to me, where's my Kleenex? Where's my Kleenex? It's like I was right there, and I said, it's right here. What's wrong? And I turn around, and I look, and the angel of the Lord is standing right there. Now, listen to me. Everybody at this moment wants to know what he looks like. It doesn't matter what they look like. You better listen to what they say. Because if what they say does not line up with the word of God, you better just reject everything they're saying. I'm talking about deception in the last days. Everybody gets caught up in all this stuff. I'm 26. I don't know Adam from anybody. I'm just glad to be saved. Was made a pastor. I don't know this man. And I turn around and he looks at me. He says, you're Paul Kane's unique son. And one day he's going to be your father. And one day you're going to come forth on his platform. Today, I'm doing that today. Listen, I want to stop and tell you what he said to me, but I want you to hear something. And I think Paul, he's never introduced me like that, never anything. Every one of you have been chosen to be in this room right now. I promise you, if you'll get what I'm trying to tell you, your life will be different forever. Christianity is not, I love what he said, the Western religious, how'd you say that? The Western religious system or... the great American religious enterprise. It's not real. We as believers can live life on purpose. We don't have to live this enterprise. So he says that to me, and he says, you're Paul Kane's unique son. He's going to be your father, and he's going to be your grandfather to your children. I thought it was normal. And he says, one day you'll come forth on his platform. And then he said several things to me, and he said, don't ever repeat what I'm telling you. I'll have it repeated back to you. Well, in Texas, Paul used the name Mildred and Raymond. And no one knew who Mildred and Raymond is. Kind of unusual names together, right? Well, Mildred and Raymond. Well, I know who they were. Raymond was a man that was passed away, and Mildred was my mother-in-law. And 26 years old, I'm sitting there. I am so completely overwhelmed. I said to him, sir, I said, would you please have him say Raymond and Mildred? And she says to me, you can't do that. I should have known something was wrong then. I turned and I said, yes, I can. And I said, sir, and he looked at me and said, so you know that I've come from above. He said, I'll have my servant say Raymond and Mildred. Wow. And take several steps and he's gone. I'm completely overwhelmed. Listen, I got a word. Here he comes. Here he comes. Here he comes. We go to the meeting. Paul gets up. He preaches. He finally says, I'm so sick of the new age. I'm so tired of the new age. I just want to just say whatever Jesus wants you to say. And everybody cheers and roars. And then he said, where's that Baptist pastor? And then he said, David, I see Raymond and Mildred. And he says, but I see Raymond in the face of God. And he said, I see Raymond on the right hand of God. Then he stopped. He said, no, I see him in the face of God asking something for you, David. I knew immediately, whatever that meant about being a unique son, that one day I would be with this man. Within 6 months, I was kicked out of that church. Listen to me. 6 months, I was kicked out of that church. And for the next 15 years, I was called the devil wherever I went. I lost everything. After 12 years, I was completely abandoned by this family. The last thing I ever heard was from the kid that had my name at that time. And he said, hey, man, nobody cares about you. No one cares about your dream. No one cares about that man. You need to go on. Mom's moved on. I have yet to this day do not know where that person is. I just received papers in the mail. Listen to me, Christian. Yeah, listen to me. I lost everything. I lived out of three boxes for 12, 15 years. When I went to the healing rooms, a lady by the name of Cindy Goff, I don't even know if she's watching. She's one of the leaders, her and her husband, Jeff. And she came into Paul's house. I lived with him for 4 years. And anyway, she came in and looked at those three boxes and just began to weep. And she looked at me, she said, three boxes. I said, oh yeah, I'm not lying. I lost everything. Everywhere I went, I didn't know what discernment was. I didn't know what the gifting was. But I had it, and God would send me next to the pastors, and one man was beating his wife, and I said, sir, the Lord showed me last night, you're beating his wife. I was kicked out. I mean, it happened. Oh, listen. If you don't know what it's like to be called the devil, you don't want to know. 12, 15 years, everywhere I went, I'm a minister. I just went from one job. I got a master's. I went from one place to another place. I ended up back on the street. Come on, Christian, where are you at? Did you get a word from God? Come on. I ended up in a pool of blood. I'm sitting there. It was like a man was standing here, and I don't know if it was the Lord or the angel. I was in such rejection. I was in such abandonment from the church, from religious people. Not the sinner. They liked me. It was the other people. And I never forget, I heard a voice said to me, David, you are going to have to change. I am not going to change for you. And one day, you're going to be thankful for this. And people ask me all the time, why are you so passionate? Because you didn't change then, he ain't changing now. I could believe him for anything. Because if he promised you, he's going to do it. My natural father's getting ready to have a heart attack and die. And I'm out of four boys. I was the kid, the Christian that went home. I ended up at IHOP for 5 years. Never was a part of leadership. Just sat there, prayed in tongues for maybe, I don't even want to say it because it sounds something, but just prayed in tongues for a long time, every day. I just would go to IHOP, to the gym and home. That's all I did. I was a coach and a trainer, so that's all I did. It was just me, and God just put me back together again under Mike Bickle's ministry. I'll be forever grateful for that time. And that's where Paul saw me one time. The Times magazine was in there, and I was worshiping God, and they took a picture of me, and it was on the computer and on their it was somewhere, I don't know. And Paul saw it, and that's where the Lord told him to come get me. Anyway, I go home. My other three brothers don't know what's going on. My dad's about to die. God reconciled me and my dad. It was a great time, and it was Thanksgiving Day. Where are you at, Christian? 23 years. Everybody left me. I'm sitting in my high school room where I grew up. It's Thanksgiving Day. I'm just getting ready to walk out of my room, and I heard the Holy Spirit, I believe, say to me, your father's very sick, David. And I thought he was just talking to me because the friendship of the Lord is with them that fear him. And I said, okay. And I walked out, and he was dead in his chair. So I closed his eyes and havoc, because he was the great, he was the, you know, the leader and everything. And my brothers didn't understand, my poor mother. And so I'm there, and I go up to the 56th day. 56th day. I'm laying in my room. I'm sitting there. My hands are like this. I just put my mom to bed because she said she didn't know if she wants to live. I understood it. She'd been married for 50 years. That was her mate, right? I'm sitting there, and I have no faith. I'm weeping. I'm saying, God, I lost everything. Everything. I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, my mother knocks on the door. She said, somebody wants to talk to you, David. I said, Mom, go to bed. Nobody's there. Actually, I barked at her. Go to bed. No one knows I'm here. I just left IHOP. Nobody. I wasn't in leadership. I'm laying there. She said, David, somebody wants to talk to you. I said, Mom, please. And I said, who is it? She said, his name is Paul Kane. And what did I say, Paul? I'll take that call. He usually says that in the meeting. And so I got on the phone, and the first thing Paul says to me, never talked to him, never met him. He said, is this David? And I said, yes. He said, the Lord shows me you're my unique son. And immediately, it takes me 23 years back to that hotel. And right there, pain began to leave all the way back. And I think Paul knows what I know. And so I'm waiting for him to ask me if to serve him, what I thought that meant, to be a servant. And we talked 3 days and just 15 minutes, just a little bit. And the third day, I finally said, Paul, I was frustrated. I said, are you asking me to be your assistant? He goes, well, I am asking you like that. I said, well, why don't you ask me? He said, because I thought he knew what I knew. He says, well, because what you have to do, you cannot be manipulated. I said, what is it that I have to do? He said, the Lord shows me you're going to help keep me alive. I said, okay. I said, what does that mean? He says, I need you in this city. And I don't know how he did it, but he bought the ticket and it was done. And so I walked back. Listen to me, Christian. I walked through and there was my mother, and she said, David, what's all this phone call going on? I said, Mother, I'm leaving. And she said, you're going to leave your mother? Listen to me. And I said this, Mom, the will of God is not up for debate. I've waited for that phone call for 23 years. How many of you in this room right now are debating about what the will of God is? There is no debate. Nowadays, the young people, they don't get to make the same mistakes that you and I made. Sexual transmitted disease, there's 75% going on out there right now. AIDS and HIV are going on right now. The gangs are going on right now. It's a total different world than what I grew up in and what you and I grew up in. So I meet this man. And sure enough, I went out there and I met him. And two quick other stories, and then I'm going to finish with this. I would go back. I would stay with Paul. Then I would go back home just to make sure my mother was okay. And I stay. Well, he called me up one day and he said, I wasn't living with him yet. He said, will you meet me in San Antonio? I said, absolutely. He said, do you know the name? I need to go to this place. I said, what's the address? It was the very address of the church that they did that to me. And I said to him, I know that address. He said, well, I just feel like you're supposed to be there. He says, will your mom let you stay with me? I need you to stay with me in the room. I said, absolutely. She doesn't mind. So I stayed with him for 3 days. And about the third day, it got so much pressure. I didn't understand. I said, Paul, what is this pressure? He said, don't ever forget this. This is called apostolic ministry, David. He said, if I could just give you 3 points in a poem, you wouldn't forget it. He said, but you've got to learn to live with apostolic pressure. I never forgot that. So we go to the meeting that day, and Rick and Lori Taylor are there, and they're witnesses. They're sitting over there. To this day, I think Lori was matching me with her sister, but we'll debate that too. But anyway, we go there, and all of a sudden, Paul's talking again. He just stops, and he just says, we're in the same church, same carpet, same room that a group of people held hands together, and this man, by the way, was my best friend, turned me over to Satan, according to 2 Corinthians, where Paul did. And I never forget, he got up and said, this isn't because of any immorality. He never did say, he said, but we're turning him over to the devil. Wow. And everybody just, they held hands and and it was completely horrible. I don't even know what words to say. It's just, whatever you think was horrible, it's worse than that. So Paul gets up and he says, I'm really here just for my assistant. And I sat right there and I said to the Lord, Lord, if this man says what I think he's going to say, I'm telling you, unbelief will leave my life forever. Because before that, I got a word years ago before I ever met Paul, and this guy came through the city and said, God's going to clear your name in the month of August, around August 5th. And I thought, why does my name need to be clear? I was happy. Everything was great, you know. Well, guess what day it was? Yeah. And Paul gets up, and he stands me up, and he says this to me in front of everybody. He says, David, there was a curse put on you 23 years ago. And I've come to lift that curse off you. Now listen. And this is where the prophetic really scared you. I had a thought from this ear, and it was going to this ear, but it was about right here. I always wanted to know who made, he was my best friend. You ever been betrayed before? King David says, I wish it was an enemy and not my companion, because you have words of butter, but wars in your heart. Right? It's my best friend. We led people to the Lord. We did all kinds of things. Traveled together. Yeah. But I always had this thought. It was from here and it was going across. And my thought was, who told him to do that? And about right here, that thought stopped. Paul says, and the Lord wants you to know he's not going to tell you on this side who told him to do that. And it scared me, actually, to be honest with you. He said, but on the other side, the Lord will let you know. From that day on, I've never been under a curse. Some of you today, before we leave, I'm going to lift that curse off you, where people have said nasty words to you, and they did nasty things to you, and they did it from the pulpit, and they should have never done it. Come on. One other story I have, when I was in Kansas City, I felt like the Lord told me to give 90% of my money away for a whole year, and he says, I'm going to teach you how to live off 10%. It was just myself, so I didn't say I'm doing it. God told me to do it. And so I said, Lord, who do you want me to give it to? And he said, I want you to send it to Paul Kane Ministries. Never met Paul, don't know Paul. So this is silly, but it's true. I would wrap up a lot of cash, and I would put it in the envelope, and I always was taught that if you want your blessing to come to you, get your blessing out to other people, right? Don't hold on to it. So I would send it to him, and I would put on these certain scriptures. That's all I would do. And two times I didn't do it that year. I went to Israel with some friends and went somewhere else. Well, one day, me and Paul were driving out of the post office. And I'm driving out, the street's going this way, it's going that way, and I'm looking both ways. And he begins to tell me this story, how he used to get these love letters, he said someone would send him and just encourage him and tell him, keep going, don't give up, Paul. And he said there would be a big old wad of money in it. He never understood. He said it was like the ravens giving it to Elijah. Well, I wasn't listening to him because I'm trying to get out of the street. And all of a sudden, I just heard him. I said, what did you say to me? And it was like, and we're driving. We just stop in the middle of the street, man. And I'm staring at Paul, and I said, Paul, that was me. And he just looked at me like Paul Kane would say, and he said, you have the worst handwriting I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. thank you for all the money you sent me, brother, but no. And then I said this to Paul. Listen, Christian, I said this to Paul. Paul, it wasn't for you. I was doing that unto the Lord. You were the recipient. Some of us are giving for people. No, you give unto the Lord like this brother was saying. God will reward you. God will reward you. So people always say to me, well, David, I tried the word of the Lord and it didn't work. No, friend. The word tried you and you quit. The word tried Joseph until iron entered his soul. Then the fetters were broken off. For 23 years, God was waiting on me. It's not about our gifting. He gave us that. It's not about our ministry. He gave us that. It's about what I could give him. He wanted my heart. He wanted to deliver me from idolatry. He wanted to deliver me from all the things that hurt people in ministry. Because I'm not impressed with gifting and stuff. Why? I'm with him. I'm not impressed with ministry or that. Why? I'm with him. I'm a pastor at the Healing Rooms. I'm a pastor at New Day Church. None of that matters. That's what God's called me to do. What matters is I give him my heart. And for 23 years, he was working that out. Where are you at, Christian? You got a word. 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. People were quitting. And I would tell people, they would say, who are you and what are you doing? I'd tell them, I had a dream. I had a word. That's all I had. And I met my friend in Missouri and I told him, his name is Dave Brockman. And I told him, one day I'll be Paul Kane's assistant. He said, who's Paul Kane? I said, well, don't worry about it. One day I will be. Because I figured it out. When I quit, I ended up in blood. You better not quit. Because that guy will run right over you, kill your whole family, and then go tell everybody, look what God did to you. He's horrible, man. Don't you quit. Don't you give up on that word. If it's a word from God, it must come to pass. It has to come to pass. And always when I give this testimony, there'll be one person come up, usually a nice lady after it's coming. She goes, well, I'm praying for your church. Don't you pray for anything. I already got everything. I didn't lose anything. I gained everything. Thank you. Thank you. We don't lose it. Well, I gave up so much. No. Jesus gave up so much. Well, it was hard. Yes, it was hard. But he wanted my heart. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. That word was given to you to get your heart to him. It's not the pastor's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It wasn't the abuser's fault. Nobody was at fault. God says, I want your heart, David. I want your heart. That's what God is saying to you. Your power, your strength is in your testimony. Listen, there's many imposters that want to be around Paul, but the Son has the testimony. Bam. The Son has the testimony. Listen, if you don't have a testimony, you don't even make it in heaven. Did you know that? You have to have a testimony to be in heaven. Thank you. I don't think they wanted to hear that. I'm going to say that again over here. You better have a testimony. It better be about the blood of Jesus. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be about how great we were. We're going to talk about what Jesus did for us. There's a whole lot of people in heaven that have a testimony. They're going to say, well, let me tell you what happened to me, David. And we're going to rejoice in the King. The ministry is just a part of it. The gifting is just a part of it. If the Lord just came on me and I ministered to 20 people, okay, that's what I'm supposed to do. But it's the testimony. We don't overcome the enemy with the gift. We overcome him by the blood and the word of my testimony. Don't give up. It's your testimony. You know why these people are on the wall? It's their testimony. If they don't have a testimony, they're not on the wall. Man, I feel like talking right now. Hallelujah. Listen, we as Christians, listen, we've got to grow up. We have an enemy. Listen, the enemy's been around for a long time, but he's never seen people like us. We're the last day people. He's never seen people like us. Listen, at the Healing Rooms, we have an open heaven. Guess what? I know today. Here in Yuba City, there's an open heaven. Five more minutes. The word war or warfare, now I'm going to teach you. Now, the word war or warfare only appears 5 times in the New Testament. War or warfare is taken from the Greek word, I can't see it, stratos. Never once is it used in connection with the devil. If you are religious, you're about to not be happy right now. So let that religion just get rid of you. Listen, is there a real devil? Yes. Does he hate you and me? Yes, but he's defeated. And the only way he can do anything is Jesus said, here comes the prince of this world, but he has what? Nothing in me. So if he has something in you, then there's a fight. Those 23 years was God. And listen, from the time I got that word until then, we call that the journey. You got your journey, I got mine. Don't judge me and I won't judge you. Stop the nonsense. Stop the nonsense. I have no idea what this man has gone through. I just know when I found him and I know when I've been with him for 6 years. First thing he says to me is, by the way, bro, you got a bullseye on your back now. It is okay. Every one of you have a testimony. Stop blaming the devil. He's defeated. Here's the problem. God says, I'm going to place hostility between your offspring and her offspring. 5 places. Let's go over it real fast. First one. For though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons of our warfare are the weapons of this, are not of this world. Are contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Do you see the word devil in there? No. Second place. All you Bible thumpers, this is just right out of your Strong's Concordance. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions. Based on your prophetic words, we're going to come back to this. Wage a good warfare. Do you see the word devil in that one? No. Third one, no man wars, entangles himself in the affairs of this life. Do you see the word devil in that one? No. Fourth one. What is the causing, listen, of the quarrels and fights among us? It's the evil desires at war within us. The word devil is not there. Come on, New Testament Christians. Last one. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents. Keep away from the worldly desires that wage against your very souls. The devil's not there. So in light of the scriptures of the New Testament that you read and I read, war and warfare primarily have something to do with conquering the flesh and taking charge of your mind. Now listen, because he's the worst of the worst, the devil, he'll take advantage of every one of that right there. And what we'll do is we'll go fight and do this and do that. And right there, for 23 years, God was saying, I'm trying to get your flesh under control, young man. Because one day, you're going to have to be with him. And I asked the Lord one day, Lord, why did I have to go through all that? And I thought he said this to me. David, I wanted you to feel and experience just a little bit on your level the rejection and abandonment that this man felt on the world stage, so you could be his unique son. Listen, let me tell you something. Everybody wants to be there, but nobody wants to do what it takes to get there. Everybody wants to be around Paul, be his assistant. They got their name, his name everywhere, they would do it, but no one wants to go through 23 years of what I went through. So whatever you're going through, go through it. Just get on the other side. And begin to target your prayers. God, what's in my flesh? What's in my mind that you're trying to remove so this guy has no access to me? Now, at 55, there's places in my life God is still working on. It's called the journey. But I tell you what, we're not dealing with stuff that I used to 26 years ago. He didn't even, listen, the dope dealer doesn't come bother me. Why is the gossip dealer knocking on your door? Dope dealer doesn't bother me anymore. Why? Because I'm not buying, bro. Why is the gossip dealer knocking on your door? Because someone's buying. Boy, I got real quiet in here. Let me tell you why. The worst thing, and I'm going to meddle a little bit, but the worst thing is gossip and slander against the church. You better get rid of all that stuff. It will destroy churches. I've never seen a person more gossip and more slandered than Paul Cain. Is he perfect? No. But Paul says we honor the work that he's done. And I hold him accountable and he didn't like it. Hallelujah. He didn't hear that. So praise the Lord. Don't tell him what I said. Praise the Lord. But he's a man like everyone else. Just like everybody else. Listen, you know who God uses up here? People like you. Julie Myers in our ministry, she always says, don't get caught up with the microphone. But what we do is if you really love your pastors, you won't idolize them. You'll pray for them. You'll bless them. You'll give to them. You'll do what it takes for them to do what they're supposed to do. Because one day God's going to knock on their door and ask about this church. Peter the Apostle said that. All right, almost done. Look what Timothy said. Hear my instructions. Listen, based on the prophetic words spoken to you earlier, by them, wage the good warfare. When the prophet gives you a word, young lady, when I gave her this word, she's supposed to wage the warfare with the word. Not to walk out and say, Paul Cain was here and he gave me a good word. I'm going to read it again because people are looking at me funny. Here are my instructions based on the prophetic words. Wage your warfare with the words that God has given you. The reason why they're not coming to pass is we're not waging that warfare. Listen, the breakthrough is in the testimony. It's in the testimony. Your answer is in your testimony. Because the answer is this. Here's the answer to the question. It's always an open book test with God. God is faithful to his word. That's the answer. I don't care if your bills aren't being paid right now. I don't care if you're sick right now. I don't care if people have dogged you right now. The answer is God is faithful. You get that word back out and you stick it right back out there and you say, this is what God said. Warfare, this is out of the Greek, fighting like a soldier in war, it's engaged to execute the apostolic duties and function. Remember what the man of God told me? And it has something to do with angels are involved. The angels are waiting for you to pick up that word that you let go. And some of us as parents gave those words, a prophet comes through and gave the little 8-year-old little Johnny a word, and he's off and he's in prison. People don't know why. Go back to the word, what God said over him. Begin to decree that over that kid again. It will change around. Why? It has to come to pass. Now, I'm on this side of 23 years, but when I was in the middle, I didn't know this, but I'm on this side. It had to come to pass. And I told Carol, that's my wife, I said, Karen, I don't mean this to be rude. I said, there's so many women in the world that maybe God would want to bring to me as my wife in the last days, but there was only one Paul Cain's. Do you know what God had to do to bring me, to get me all the way to that plane, to give him my phone number and then call me and here I am? I'm not up here right now because I like David and Cheryl. And I do. I'm not up here right now because I'm a preacher. And I am. I'm up here right now because 6 and 23, 29 years ago, God gave me a word. That's why I'm standing in front of you. What are you doing with that word? The purpose of something, the very role, the function of that word that God gave you was for you to wage your warfare. The word by and in, I have a master's in education, so let me just help you. It means to fight with, to fight for, with the word. That's what you're fighting with. Not your gifting. Better get out of that. Not your ministry. Better get out of that. He said, wage that warfare. It's the agent that's doing the action. Yeah. It is written, my son is going to be this. Why? God said that. And just look at the devil. He'll have to leave. He'll have to. Because it was the word of God that beat him. The prophetic words enter into a voyage of faith. Almost done. Prophecy is revealed truth, makes clear God's intentions, divinely empowered, foretelling, asserting the mind of God. It predicts. Now, why is there so much trouble happening in your life? I got two scriptures and we're done. I think two. And God chose me to be, listen to what Paul the Apostle said. God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the good news. Look, for this reason I suffer. I told Rick Taylor, Rick, forget the healing rooms, forget everything, just stop and go fishing and all the problems will stop. Paul the Apostle said, Listen, listen, get this. The reason why you're struggling going in is because you're called. Everybody says, well, you're called. Yes. That's why the suffering's going on. If this man never saw Saddam Hussein, if he never saw Bill Clinton, if he never told everybody in the world what's going on, he'd never have any problems, according to the Apostle Paul. Are you suffering? This means mental, physical, financial, something that stems outside of your control. Oh, and by the way, Paul was sitting in prison when he said that. So the Apostle Paul says, I'm sitting in prison because I'm an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher in the body of Christ. Almost done. Look at Hebrews. And call to remembrance the former days in which you have been enlightened. Wait a minute, when you got revelation that you endured much conflict of sufferings. The conflict of sufferings, listen, brother and sister, comes because of the revelation. We made it over everything else, and he's just trying to steal that word he gave you. That's all he wants, because the word is what defeated him. He cannot afford for you and me to live life on purpose, get a word from God, watch it come to pass, and then tell other people how to do that. Because we would govern everything he does. Jesus did it, and so did the first century church. It means you're entering to a ring. Suffering that affects the mind. Let's stand. Let's stand. Check out this last slide. Listen, let it get you. Let it get you. The fight you face, friend, is the greatest evidence that you're on the right track. Don't give up on the prophetic words. Look at that red one. Here it is. Total commitment to the prophetic words over your life is the only way you and I are going to win this war. Listen, total commitment. Today I stand before you because God, in his grace, kept me going as a forerunner so that I could tell other people, you better get total committed to your words that God has given you. Let's just wait on the Lord for a minute. Can I get a piano or anything? I want to. Come on, church. You're at the place of your breakthrough right now. I know it. And the word that I believe God told me to tell Glad Tidings is the answer is in your testimony. The answer is in your testimony. The answer is God is faithful to his word. You don't have to lose everything. You don't have to live in three boxes. You don't have to. God has sent a man to tell you, pick your words up. Wage the warfare with the words. Come on, let's wait on the Lord. Lord, we just wait on you. Come. I just sense the room's changing right now. Listen, the healer's in the house. Somebody's lower back is being healed right now. Listen, God is going to honor this word. Receive that. There's something on someone's foot. I don't know that word. It's a fascia or something where your foot hurts. God is healing that right now. Maybe you're online and you're listening. Let the presence of God come in to that camera, wherever it is. Lord, increase, Holy Spirit. Come. Increase right now. Increase. The number one enemy to spiritual warfare is self-pity. Let it go. Let it go. You just got to brush yourself off. Hey, listen, in the world when I used to fight, if I got hit, we'd brush it off. We'd still get after it until that thing was over with. Come on. Come on, Glad Tidings. Come on. Pick your word up. Brush that stuff off. Lord, we just renounce self-pity right now. We command it to get out of our lives in Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. Somebody's shoulder just got healed. If your shoulder was hurt, just begin to move your shoulder. God is moving on it right now. God will always respond to his word. Just receive that right now. Lord, we just call creative miracles in the room right now as a sign and a wonder. Come on. Let me say this as bold and clear as if you are in known sin and you're doing it right now, brother, sister, you are playing with fire. Because when you hear the word of the Lord, it will either take you further, it will make your heart harder. I can tell you just by being in the presence of this couple, you're getting the word of the Lord. You ever wonder why people go for 20 years and they don't care about God anymore? Because their heart got so hard, their conscience got seared, and it's like they didn't even know God. If you're in known sin right now, I'm begging you as a brother in Christ, repent and get out of that thing right now. It will pay for the wages of sin. It costs you. Get out of that sin right now. Come to one of the leaders. Go to somebody that can help you. Come on, church, help me out. You guys that are praying, help me out. God is ministering to people right now. I feel the burden for children right now. Come on, let's lift our children up. Father, we lift our children to you. Come on, parents. Lord, every word that's ever been spoken over our babies are going to come to pass in Jesus' name. We decree to that child that is running away, come home in Jesus' name. We speak to every prodigal, come home to the word of the Lord. You prodigals that are watching, come home in Jesus' name. Every word that's been spoken over you, you come home in Jesus' name. Father, we send the word of the Lord to our prodigals in Jesus' name. Come on, parents. That's to our grandchildren. Come on, I'm not a grandparent, but you might be. Come on. God, go get our babies in Jesus' name. The man of God said the whole home should be healed and household salvation. Go get our children, God. Go get our grandchildren. I feel like there's a couple in here, maybe it's a man or a woman, that you've lost your children for whatever reason. God's going to bring those children back. He's going to give you a second chance. He's going to give you a second chance. Whoever you are, just receive that. He's going to give you a second chance. Come on. All right, let's pray for our marriages. Come on. Husbands, decree that word over your wife. Wife, begin to decree that over your husband. Hey, listen. God, Paul the Apostle said, marriage is a mystery. And I said, amen to that scripture. Praise the Lord. And all the men said, amen. They're laughing at me. If there was a woman, she'd say, women said. Come on, let's forget all that stuff. You decree over your marriage what God said is going to happen. We are not to criticize one another. We are to pray for one another. Lord, we decree over our marriages, every word will come to pass. God, begin to mend marriages in this house right now. Begin to mend marriages on that TV right now. Mend marriages. Come on. All right, come on. Let's set our gifts and our callings in order. Lord, we set our gift and our calling where it's supposed to be. May the word of the Lord be number one in our life. May it be the Alpha and the Omega. Lord, we repent where we've made our ministry, where we made our giftings, where we made our talents more than the word of the Lord. Lord, we never want to do something in our own strength. We repent. Come on, church. Come on. Lord, we repent of that. We renounce that. I just feel like the Holy Spirit just said, the angels are walking up and down these aisles right now. They're going to begin to whisper to you your testimony. I want you to think of your testimony where you've not liked your testimony. Listen, brother, I'm up here today, but in those 23 years, I didn't like that testimony. I didn't even want to give that testimony for so many years. Right now, let that thing go between you and God. He'll make it right for you. Come on, church. I'm talking to people that know God right now. You're stuck. Lord, I don't like that happened. Let it go. He'll make it right. He'll make it right for you. He'll make it right. Embrace your testimony. It's what overcomes the enemy. Let's just lift our hands. Lord, we just receive your glory right now. Come on, he's in the room. Lord, we receive your glory. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the power of our testimony. Lord, thank you for teaching us not to love our lives even unto death, God. Lord, we decree and declare we don't have plan B. Jesus is our plan, God. You're conforming us into the image of Christ. Father, I stand before these people and say, thank you. Thank you for everything you've took me through, God. Thank you for everything that I didn't understand, God. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Come on, church. Embrace the cross. I bind this church to the cross. To the cross of Calvary. God's healing somebody's heart right now. Just receive that. I see the intestines being moved right now. Just let God heal your intestines right now. He's moving right now because He loves us. He's responding. Beloved, listen to me. Don't ever forget this. Without a testimony, you're not allowed in heaven. The way you get into heaven is through the blood. And the blood gives you the testimony. Embrace the cross, friend. Embrace the cross. For it will destroy your flesh. It will destroy every wrong thinking that you and I have. Jesus embraced the cross for the joy that was set before. He despised it for the joy. Father, release your joy into our hearts now. Right now, I feel the Holy Spirit is just making sense of many people's lives in here. Why'd you go through what you went through? It's making sense right now. It's okay, man. It's okay. One day we'll talk about your testimony together and we'll rejoice. I want to say to whoever you are, I'm glad you went through what you went through. Jesus is worth it, man. When we get to the other side, He's worth every nasty rejection, all the abandonment, everything they said to me. It's worth it. He is our King. He's the last man standing. And He's the winner. Lord, we just receive You right now, Jesus. We love You, Jesus Christ. We love You, Jesus. You are worth everything, sir. You are worth everything, sir. We love You. We love You, Jesus. Glad tidings, Your answer is in Your testimony. Brother Dave.